God said, I'm going to pay you back if you'll keep your faith and your confidence in me. Is there anybody who needs some back pay that the devil has stolen from you? And God said, I'm going to take that devil and make him pay back seven times.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This sermon was taken from a recent service here at Pace Assembly. This is It Pays to Believe. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers.
For every crick in your back and crick in your neck, for every time you went to the doctor and had to pay the copay, come on somebody, for every time that the doctor said we got to deal with this and treat this, for every little pimple on your face that was brought in there by sin in the original location, God said, I'm going to pay you back if you'll keep your faith and your confidence in me. Is there anybody who needs some back pay that the devil has stolen from you and God said, I'm going to take that devil and make him pay back seven times what the enemy has stolen? I got news for you. There's some stuff that the enemy has stolen from me. I got news for you. I got a warning for him. I know he's listening into this gospel message this morning because he's afraid of this church right here. And I'll be so bold as to tell you he's afraid of this pastor right here. I just preached in a Congregational Holiness Church this past Wednesday and Thursday in Gainesville, Georgia. Friend of mine up there. He's been there for 16 months. He said, I need a revival. Went up there and preached. And he knows it. We talked about it. It's one of the hardest places I've ever preached in my life. I couldn't get an amen for nothing. Even when I say a joke, at least you people laugh at my stupid jokes. Couldn't get nothing. Some folks were stirred on Wednesday night, praise God for it. Thursday night, I got up ready to preach. I said, Lord, you got to help me. I got up ready to preach. I preached as hard and the best that I knew how, and I might as well have been preaching that speaker there for a while. I know they were receiving it. But I'm just going to tell you, I need a little help up in here. Come on, anybody does. You want me to encourage you, then you need to holler sick 'em or something. I got through preaching that sermon. It's a process. I'm forever having to learn it. I've been in this thing for 30 years, and I'm always learning the process again. Come on, you're never going to get over that. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not careful, you get in situations. There's 1,000 pastors that are casting away their confidence every month. They say, I'm tired of it. Can't keep up with the trends. What are we supposed to be this Sunday? Smoke? Lights? What are we supposed to be this Sunday? Are we supposed to have chairs or pews? Are we supposed to wear a tie, no tie? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Welcome to my world right here. I'm talking about, what is it supposed to be? Because you know, I can't please everybody. So this is the first church where everybody gets a thermometer and you get your own volume control. Just help yourself. We have the earplug ministry. It's in the back there. Just help yourself. It's forever changing on the spectrum. And about the time you think you got it figured out, and I'm going to tell you, it will cause anybody who's under that kind of pressure to throw their hands up and say, forget it. But the writer said, don't cast away your confidence. So I preached that sermon. I got through preaching. I gave one of the hardest altar calls I've ever done in my life. I said, Mr. Soundman, give me 30 seconds on the clock. You got 30 seconds to get right with God. He clocked it down and said, I said, all right. I walked over to my seat. The Lord dealt with me. He said, get over there. Give him another 30. I said, put 30 on the clock. Let's do it again. Somebody's backslidden in this building needs to get right with God. God wants to send revival to this place. 30 seconds. He counted down 30 seconds. Nobody moved. I was waiting for this at least. Come on. I mean, my pastor friend there was telling me that he had another pastor friend of his, young guy, and in that particular church where they're running about 800, if somebody wants to get saved, he said he tells them to blink at him. Blink and wink at him. You want to get saved? I remember that's what it says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If any man wink. Oh. If any man wink at me, he's a new creature in Christ. Yeah, that isn't what it says. Y'all not hearing me? See, we're in such a condition right now where this false doctrine has gotten us to a place where we're not strong enough to carry the weights of the persecution and the trouble that's coming down the road. And this preacher standing in this place this morning to tell you there's judgment and trouble coming, but be of good cheer. Don't throw away your confidence. There is a reward that is on the way if you'll stay with God. Somebody clap your hands and give God some glory in this place. He said, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence because there's recompense for it. You're going to get paid back for it. Casting away your confidence is literally defined in this passage of Scripture as the soldier who's carrying the shield. And he says, cast not away your confidence. The confidence is represented by the shield. Ephesians chapter 6. Pick up the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. According to this literal translation of this passage, you've got to be persuaded in confidence and in faith to not throw away your confidence. That's what cowardly soldiers who throw away their weapons and throw away their shields. And now you're exposed to every fiery dart that comes. This is the analogy. If you lose confidence in God, if you throw it away, it's like throwing away your shield of faith. If you'll hold on to it, if you'll keep your faith firmly planted in the finished work of the cross, Jesus Christ will never fail you in the process. Is anybody getting this morning? To recompense, defined as this, to make a payment or return to as for work done, watch this, injury sustained or favors received. To recompense is the repayment, the requital, or the reward as for services, gifts, or favor. In other words, God said, I'm going to pay you back every payment you missed as a result of the afflictions and the trouble that you suffered. Don't throw away your confidence in God today, right now, tomorrow. Why? Because it pays to believe. Look at your neighbor and tell him it pays to believe. The problem is, he says in verse number 36, and I'm almost done. He says, the problem is you are in need. Get ready for this one. This one will make you shout. You are in need of patience. You're responding just like that church, most likely. You're in need of patience. Every last one of you. The reason why you're throwing away your confidence is because you don't have enough patience. Hold it, Pastor. I've been enduring the lions, the persecution of the government, the acquisition of my property, personal afflictions in my body. I've steadily been coming to church and holding on to the faith the best that I know how, and now you're preaching to me that I need more patience? That word patience there is not just clocking God. It means enduring, courageous, confidence. There's some things you just have to endure. Isn't that right, Ukiah? When the enemy and the doctor tries to take you out by cancer, you know, sometimes you just got to walk it out step by step. I don't know who I'm talking to here this morning, but I believe you need to be persuaded in your faith to such a degree that you're not willing to throw away the one thing that is protecting you from the fiery darts of the wicked one. You have need of patience. Look at your neighbor, preach a little bit, tell them, you have need of patience. Here's the way the world says it, wait for it. So I pull out of Gainesville, Georgia. I tell my wife I'm gonna find something open. By the way, y'all thought I forgot that story. I preached, I gave that 30-second altar call, nobody moved. I got up, I went over there and put my Bible in my satchel and put my key in my pocket. I'd already packed and I was headed towards Opelika. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord deal with me, and I went over to the altar. It was two steps in front of me, and I knelt down at the altar, and I started praying. I said, God, if I missed it tonight, forgive me. I don't know what's all is happening here, but I've done my best. I didn't hold anything back. And while I'm praying, I felt the presence of somebody kneel down beside me, Eric. I opened my eyes to see a grown man in his 40s and his girlfriend on the other side, I later found out, who was squalling his eyes out. His name was Adam, sitting in the back of the auditorium. He got up in the middle of that time while I was at that altar and come and kneeled down. I said, what do you want, Adam? He said, I got to get right with God. Now watch this. Congregational Holiness Church. I've known the pastor and his wife for years. Literally preached at his church many years ago, and that's where I encountered and made friends with Jensen Franklin years ago. He preached it for me, and Destin preached for us down at Revive Worship Center. His aunt was sitting in the connection we had was sitting in that church service. It was already almost 9 o'clock by the time that was done. I looked over, I said, what do you want? He said, I want to get right with God. I said, well, pray with me this prayer. Pray it out loud. Pray it boldly. You're a grown man. Give me some grown men at Pace Assembly. Quit letting their wife be the leader of the parade and step up. She will not follow a parked car. Do you have enough confidence in your walk with the Lord to step out and say, come on, we're going to get down on our knees right here, and I don't care if your cornflakes get soggy, we're going to pray until heaven drops into this place. I started praying with him. I said, what's your name? He said, my name's Adam. I said, well, well, you're the start of something really good. Next thing I know, pastor gets up and starts taking the microphone and said, I feel the presence of God. And I'm thinking right then, Brother Dean, I ain't feeling a whole lot at all. Just like some of y'all this morning. And all of a sudden, things broke out in that house. People began to get up, speaking in tongues, get filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Two other people came down and got saved. People filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Suddenly people start falling out all around that house. And for 3.5 hours, church unloaded from heaven at New Haven Church in Gainesville, Georgia, on the top of that mountain. They told me after it was over with, they said, one charter member walked up to me and said, in all the years that I've been here, we have never had a service like that. Something is about to take place. I came to tell you, if you'll hold on to your confidence, God's going to pay you back with an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. If you're hungry enough for it, somebody shout hallelujah.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.